I always marvel at people. We were in an airport this week, and I said, Frank, let's just sit back here and watch people for a while. We got a layover. You ever just sit back and watch people? You can learn a lot when you just shut your mouth and watch folks. They'll tell you all that you need to know. I hope that you've come expecting, and I hope that you've come hungry this morning. I'm going to minister on something that I've thought a whole lot about in the last 5 years, and I'm not sure I've ever really preached a message on it. But, you know, I've said this in several of my messages, that there's times where people that have been saved for a long time, they get complacent, and they get to a point where they're just in a routine, and they get numb. And sometimes our life situations and our life struggles, they condition us, and they make us to where we can't feel certain things, and to where we're just numbed over. And what I see a lot of, and what I've seen a lot in the past 5 years that I've been a pastor, is that a lot of people, a lot of good people, are just numb. And you're just going through the motions, and you can't really feel much. And I want to minister on that today. You know, if more pastors would minister on what really goes on with people, people could get free. So that's my goal for this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to begin to read at verse 10. You can live off of and hang off of every single word that is in the Bible. Every verse, every word, every verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, if you were going to an airport, you'd probably have a suitcase. If you were going to school, you'd probably have a book bag. If you were going to the library, you'd probably have a book. If you were going to work, you'd have your car keys. And when you come to church, this is not condemning you, but I'm trying to teach you, and I would be a bad pastor if I did not challenge you. If when you come here, you would do yourself a lot of justice if you would bring the word. Because, see, I am not getting you to heaven. I can't say, now, Jesus, they were a good person, let them in. You're going to work out your own salvation, and it is going to be a workout. By the time you breathe your last breath, you will have had to work some things out, and it ain't easy. But what's going to help you is if you'll bring your word, and when I get up here and I say, now turn to this chapter, and you can do that, and you can read along. See, the word is living. This thing right here is not something that's dead and needs to collect dust in your bookshelf. The Word of God, it's living. And not only is it living, but it's active. But it's active. What does that mean? That when we have planted the Word of God in our heart, Kayla, when things come up in life, and how many of you know that things are going to come up? Amen. Amen. See, David said in the Psalms, Lord, your word have I hidden inside of my heart, that I may not sin against you. When you have the word and it is planted inside of your heart, when things come up in your life, you're going to have that word inside of you. And that word, because it's living and because it's active, that word itself will go to that part in your life that's having a problem. That word will go to the addiction. That word will go to the sin that you're still nursing and still doing. That word will go to the infirmity, and it'll take place. See, the Word, the living Word. Why? Because, see, the Word says that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So please bring your Bibles to church. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to begin at verse 10. And we are talking about the end of days. It says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. Now, I used to think in my religious self-judging, judgmental person that I used to be, I used to think that people just outright, what this verse meant was that they just turned away from God. And see, I believe that that happens, but I don't believe that people just set their hearts to just turn away from God and they're done with Him. I believe that one step and one decision at a time, that's how that happens. And the Word tells us, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Now, I'm a very liberal thinker, and when I read this verse, it's different than when I used to read it 10 years ago, because when I'm reading this about false prophets and deceiving people, one of the major things that pops up into my head is TikTok. Now, I'm not judging you if you got a TikTok at all, but do you know how many people, honest to God, believe what they see on this social media stuff? They believe it. See, you got to watch and be careful of what you are letting into your spirit, because if you're not, you're going to allow some things to get in there, and that's going to contribute to you being numbed over to the things of God. That's going to contribute problems in your marriage. That's going to contribute problems in your family dynamic. It will contribute problems in your finances. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I personally, and when I tell you what I personally do, I want you to have an open mind and not be judging your pastor. But I tell you things that I personally do. And that doesn't mean that that's what everybody's got to do. But I have to be transparent as a pastor so I can teach you. I personally don't listen to a bunch of, or really any, music that's not Christian. Okay? And the reason I don't is because when I used to like country music. Now, if you're getting upset and this is making you uncomfortable, you need to get over it. Because I'm going to preach it. Okay? I'm going to preach it, and it's going to be, Kayla, I'm going to preach where we live. And I started noticing, Andrew, that I was very depressed. Every time I'd get in the car, I would think, ugh, what a drag. Well, that's because I was sitting there hearing about how my mama's dog got shot by the crazy farmer across the street. And, oh, I got friends in low places and all this silly stuff. Let me tell you something. You just keep on singing some of those retarded songs and you're going to end up stupid. And you're going to end up upset. Now, there was a Christian song, and I'm not talking bad about people, but I have to be able to be a person and just teach, okay? I was singing, and this was a Christian song. I'm not going to name the singer because I love her, and I still listen to her. I just don't listen to this specific song. One day I was singing, and I was singing, I got a couple bumps in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans, all this stuff, you know, and it was a Christian song. And God said, Kelly, do you want a couple bumps in your fender? No, Lord, I don't. My car is like one of my family members, and my kids think I love my car more than I love them. I don't, but that car don't talk back to me. So I'm very careful what I listen to, because I can't allow my spirit to get me singing some tune that's going to set the tone for the rest of my day. Now, that's just a little thing. But we're talking about what is contributing to people being numbed over in these last days. And it says here, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most. Not just a few, not a one race or another, but it says here in the Word, the love of most will grow cold. Now this is coming straight out of the Word, and it is describing the last days. What I want to ask you this morning is, are you growing cold? Are you growing cold? Are you growing cold? I used to take a lot of complaints on different parts of the service, and people would say, well, I can't feel Jesus when you sing this song, or when you let them sing this song, or I can't this, or I can't that. And you know what? Let me just explain something to you. I can feel Jesus when I am sitting on my pot. Okay? And if you, honest to God, think that you need certain things to feel God, what you are is you are in a fleshly episode. Because, Kayla, God is always there. But what we've got to do is we've got to stop making excuses for why we are the way that we are and say, God, I am numbed over and I want to feel again. God, help me. Because, see, your Word says that in the last days, the love of most, not just a few, but most, is going to grow cold. Angel, it's not a, it may. It says the love of most will grow cold. And what we have to do is we have to be very in touch with what's going on up inside of here to make sure we ain't going to be one of the most. Because see, the Word of God says that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very, very few there be that find it. Why is that? Because very few people are sick and tired of the mediocrity of what is their life in that season. And they've just decided they're going to just be comfortable with less than what God had for them. And I don't want anybody in here to have that. But it says the love of most will grow cold. What does it take for a heart to grow cold? I've written some things down. The heart to grow cold needs to shut down, get numb, and disconnect. Shut down. How many people are just flat out shut down? You done shut down, you done checked out, and you're just done. And you say, well, I'm not just done with everything, Pastor Kelly, but I'm done with this or I'm done with that. Look here. Be careful to say what you're done with. The heart needs to shut down, get numb, and disconnect. And how does that happen? How do we get to that point where we're just numbed over? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look in verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, that means before you do anything else, above all. See, when the Word of God says certain things in the Bible, you need to be paying attention. And this says, above all. This is at the top. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Guard your heart. An unguarded heart is an unchecked heart. An unchecked heart becomes a numb heart. A numb heart becomes a cold heart. And a cold heart becomes a godless heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard it with everything that you've got. There are people, and I'm going to minister very real and very raw, okay? And all these things that I'm saying, I can say them because I've lived them and I've had the life experiences, and that makes me qualified to preach it. But guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. There are things that are so close to you that cause you so much pain that we have to be able to guard ourselves with some of this stuff. Because if we keep indulging in the heartbreak and the heartache of what is sometimes our life, we are going to have a numb season. Some people get out of a numb season and some people don't. What I can say is that many times our numb heart started out with some type of pain. There was something that went on. Maybe not just one thing, maybe a cluster of things. But a lot of people that are numbed over, a lot of Christian people that are numbed over, there's something in there. Some type of something that's caused you grief, that's caused you pain, that's caused you hurt, that's caused you whatever it may be. And because that pain was never, it was either never addressed or never addressed in the proper way, it's affecting you today to where there's parts of you that are numbed over. And that's what we're going to minister on today. Because, see, God wants you at your happiest and He wants you at your wholest. He wants you in your healthiest state. And there have been times where I've looked at some of y'all and I can see the numbed over on your face. And look here, when one member of the body suffers, we all suffering. Above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. See, the Word says, whatever you do, do it for God, and do it with your whole heart. And a lot of people have trouble doing anything wholeheartedly because they're numbed over. I want to tell you this morning that it is not a Christian failure to go through and have a battle. It's not, doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian when you're sad. Doesn't make you a bad Christian when you're depressed. It doesn't make you a bad Christian when something happens to you. See, the church, God always intended it to be a place of healing. But what I believe has happened in today's society is Christians come into church and they want everybody to think that everything's fine. And so a lot of people have just become actors and fakers instead of just actual people. And what I want to minister to you today is this right here. There's churches in this town that are bigger than this one. I'm sure they've got more money. But Patty, I don't really care about all that stuff because that's just stuff at the end of the day. I serve the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Whatever we need, we're going to have it. God's always seen to it. But we'll be missing the mark if we miss this one thing. I don't want this to be a place where we're keeping up with the Joneses up in here. Look here, this is not a competition, and we ain't competing against each other. If you ain't feeling some type of way, that doesn't mean I'm going to lay out a church.
Amen.
You know, one of the main excuses or reasonings where people say, Pastor Kelly, I didn't come to church because, do you know what it is? Pastor Kelly, I was so depressed I could not even get out of bed to come. It's one of the most common reasonings why people will not come to church. Now, I'm going to give us an honesty check. How many of you, you've either felt that way or you've done that yourself? Let me tell you something. That's why we're talking about this. This is not Parish Christian Center. While if I'm living and breathing, my goal, Bobby, before I feed people, before I do anything else, here's what I want this place to be. If you're feeling broken, I want you to be able to come in here and just say, guys, I'm here, but I'm broken today. Not, oh, I'm fine. Oh, happy Sunday. Because see, that's not helping you. You're going to lie to yourself one too many times and tell yourself you're fine when you're not, and you're going to get yourself numbed over to a point. What will it take to get you out of that? If you're not fine, you need to get yourself in here and let somebody love on you and tell people, I'm not doing good today.
Amen.
I'm hurting today. Or I'm irritated today. I'm worried today. Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together, Angel, and we're going to just love on people. I've had moments where I've said, God, I can't feel anything. I can't feel your presence. I can't feel conviction. I ain't feeling nothing. I've lived it. And I know what it's like. You got to shake yourself and not allow yourself to get stuck in that. And if you're stuck in that this morning, this is not a condemning message. This is a how to get through it, how to get out of it. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it. With everything that you've got, you need to guard that heart. What are you guarding it against? Anything that does not line up with the Word.
Amen.
Anything that does not line up with the Word. If your favorite kind of music is telling you you're down and out, you better stop listening to it. If your best friend is a rip-roaring moron and they're telling you everything but the good Word of God, you better drop them. Or pick and choose your days when you don't need to be around them. Because see, what you don't need is to get in line with stupidity and keep going that direction.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know this is blunt. But what I've learned is people don't get it sugar-coated. It just goes right over their head. Guard your heart. Go with me to Psalms chapter 61. We're going to look in the King James Version. Psalms chapter 61, we're going to start at verse 2. You know, there's people and they look at other Christians and they compare themselves. That's not good for you. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody. And if you're somebody that's prone to doing that, you need to guard your heart against that. If you're looking and you're thinking, well, look at these people. they're doing just great in their life. They're great at this. They got this, and all of this stuff is going great. I must be doing this Christian thing wrong. Let me tell you something. It don't work like that. Because here is the truth of the matter. Nothing is what it appears to be. Nothing. Amen. Don't be looking at Facebook with your depression and thinking that everybody's got it going right but you. Don't be looking at all the vacations they get to go on, and how do you not get to do none of this stuff? You know you make more money than them. How are they doing that? Or how are they such a good mom? They got 5 kids. I've only got 2, and I can't control those 2. Look, I don't know how sister does it, but I ain't going to worry about what she's doing. She ain't got my specific 2. I'll swap her for a day and see how good she's looking after that. But I ain't going to feel bad over it. Does God want you to have victory? Yes, He does. He gave His Son so you could have it. Does He want you to have everything that your heart desires? Yeah, if it lines up with His Word. What is my point? God wants the very best for you. The very best. And you're at your best when your emotions and in your heart is not numbed over. I think that some of what's gotten Christians numbed over is just acting like there's nothing wrong sometimes. People in the ministry have a big problem doing that. I have a problem doing that at times. But I try to keep it real for the sake of whoever the heck could be looking up to me, so I don't steer them in the wrong direction thinking that I've got it all together, because I can tell you, I sure the heck don't. But one of the things that I've got together that helps me to not be numbed over is that, Angel, me and God have been through some stuff, and my heart is absolutely 100% in love with Him. Amen. And there's things that He's done for me that I'll never forget what it took to get me out of. When you get numbed over, think about what He's done in your life. Sometimes we're numbed over because we've thought about ourselves and our own sorrow too much. And we've gotten saturated in me, 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 me. It's all about me. And you know what? Good people do that, and they don't mean to do it. But let me tell you something. On your worst day, when you feel like you're not worth anything, you have something to give that is so valuable. What is it? Hope. Hope. If somebody can look at you on your worst day and still realize that you love God, you're giving them something that money cannot buy them. So you're not a failure when there's been some pain in your life and you've struggled with it. But you will fail if you don't address it. Psalms chapter 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. One of the things that I love about David is that this guy was not allowed to shed some tears. He did a lot of other things that were good, and he did a lot of other things that were bad, but he did keep it real, and that I respect. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Sometimes the people that we're lying to the most is our own self. Is our own self. I know in the beginning, 5 years ago when I started pastoring, it took, Fran, every single drop of everything that I had to do it. And I had to be strong for such a long time that I conditioned myself to just go, 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 push, 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 push. That was me. That wasn't God. And what I did was I got myself in a state where I was just numbed over because, Kayla, I just kept on and kept on and kept on. And I got up on the stairs of my house with just me and God, and I said, God, you said that your burden was supposed to be easy. And God, right now, I make the recognition that I am so broken. And I don't feel like I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing because I'm a mess. And I can't take one more day. Don't lie to yourself and don't lie to God. If you're spent, tell him, because what he's going to do is he's going to fill you back up. And at the top of those 14 stairs, God said, Kelly, you can take one more day, but take it with me. Take it with me. I went on and I took a lot more. But I'm real careful of what I am doing. Because if I'm going to go off of my own ability, I'm going to get worn out and numbed over. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. How many of you struggle with just simply being overwhelmed at times? Overwhelmed by it all. Overwhelmed. See, if you don't stop and just say, God, I'm overwhelmed by this, you're probably going to get numbed over. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If you've been trying to do what only God can do, you're going to get pretty tired of that, and you won't be able to do it. So what did David do? God, I'm crying out to you. I'm crying out to you. From the ends of the earth, I cry out to you. And God, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to you. Because you're higher than me. How you would handle a situation is not how God would handle it most of the time. Because God's ways are just flat out, they're higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There's been a lot of times where I really thought I had a read on somebody or I thought I knew something about them. And God would say, now, Kelly, nope. You just be still. 2-3 weeks go by. Things unfold. and maybe the person I thought was odd, or maybe I didn't like them, or maybe they rubbed me wrong. Maybe I was just needing to be more compassionate. And just go the extra mile because they were going through something that I didn't understand. Because, see, sometimes we're going to go through things ourselves that maybe we're not going to understand. Maybe we don't know why we're going through them. Maybe we're ready to be done with the problem and the problem's still there. Look around at people. Everybody has got something going on that can slip them up. And it's time to love on people to the point where we can make them feel that they're loved, that they're cared about. Because people are hurting right now, and I know very well that some of y'all are hurting. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. That's what he's been. How many of you know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's the same. He's not changing. His love for you isn't changing. His acceptance for you isn't changing. His favor for you isn't changing. His blessings for you, they're not running out. The miracle that you need, he hasn't run out of them. See, David, he made some recognition here. And that's what a lot of people aren't doing, is making recognitions about their life. They're blowing through things, trying to get everything done, trying to just keep up with all their stuff and what they got to do and all their problems and all their family problems and all their work problems. And people aren't slowing down long enough to recognize what's really going on with themselves. We got some very confused people. What am I wanting you to recognize in this verse? It's okay to cry to God. God didn't make you emotionless. He made you in his image, and it's okay. If you need to cry about something, cry about it. Now, you can't stay in that, but there's times where you need to get that out. I walked into the jail a few weeks ago, and there was a little girl. And the moment that I walked in there, she just started weeping. And I was thinking, oh, my God, what did I do? But I didn't even say anything yet, so I was like, well, I don't know. And I finally stopped in my message. I said, are you okay? And she said, for the first time in like 3 years, I have felt something, and I've been able to cry. I have not cried in 3 years.
Thank you, God.
You know what? Sometimes you just need to get it out. Here's David. It's okay to cry. It's okay to say, you know what? My heart is overwhelmed right now. God, you're higher than me. So, Lord, lead me to where you're at. If you're still thinking that you know it all and you know best and all of that, you got to get to that point where you're saying, Lord, lead me. Lead me. Can you be led? Can you let God lead you to the place where he wants to take you? Because see, if God's trying to take you to point A and you're trying to go to F over here, see, you're going to have some struggling going on because see, you're never going to be happy going against God. Now, you may think that you are. I had a minister come in here one time when I was younger. I wasn't too terribly young. But I was doing some stupid stuff. I thought I liked to drink alcohol at one point. Now, I didn't stay in that very long. But for a little brief season, I was tampering around with that. And so help me God, we had a guest speaker. Dad's never heard this. He's going, oh, God. We have put this man through some heck, let me tell you. But a guest speaker came in here and he said, look here, you better stop what you're doing because this is how you're going to be in your life. You love God so much that you would be a drunk at the bar and you'd be talking about God and you'd be preaching about God. So what you need to do is choose to do it sober. Because you love God too much to be doing it drunk. You can be more effective if you stop that drinking and get to just telling people about God. Now look here. David also recognized here who God had been, who he had been. Last week I asked you a question, who is God to you? David here, he makes a recognition of who God has been to him. He made it personal. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Some of you, you need to look in your life and you need to see that God's fingerprints are all up inside of you. There have been people in here that the devil intended to kill and you never even knew that he had that plan for you. But see, God stepped in and said, no. Put a 90-year-old granny right in front of them and slow them down today. I'm going to avoid that accident that the devil wants them to get up in. But see, you need to make a recognition in your numbed out state. Who has God been to me? And start recalling that. When I get real into my feels and get numbed over, Heather, I start thinking about what God took me out of and what he did for me. And I start talking about God. Now, I remember that you did this. And I remember that you did that. And then before too long, Kayla, my heart starts beating again and saying, you know what? God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And I'm going to let him take this heart of stone that can't feel nothing and turn it back the way it should be. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. So you got choices to make. Are you going to leave God because you're going through something? Or are you going to just decide you're going to go through it and get through it with him? I will trust in the covert of thy wings. If your trust is in anything but him, you're going to be disappointed. When my heart is overwhelmed. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, the devil spends most of his time trying to wear you out. And a lot of our dumb decisions are made in an exhausted state. Now I'm going to take it a step further. A lot of what's going on with people is they are emotionally and spiritually exhausted. And the devil has done so many things to get you to that point. He wants to emotionally break you. And he'll use everything that you've been through to do it. He will use every failure that you've ever had to break you. He'll use all those coulda, shoulda, wouldas to break you down. He'll use all those what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this and what if that? See, the devil uses those things to wear you out, to get you to a point where you just lay down and just lay down and give up. And I'm begging you this morning to get yourself back up. Get yourself up and say, you know what? I may not be at my best, but I do serve the best, so therefore, I'm going to get through this.
Amen.
See, you cannot afford to just lay down and die right now.
Amen.
You can't afford to just lay down and stop praying for your family right now. You can't lay down and forget about the things that you need to be calling out to God. You can't afford to take a vacation from God. And you dang sure can't afford to let your heart get numbed over and stay that way. You need to shake yourself and begin to do some things differently. How do you get different results? You do some different things. One of the major things that I am very big on is this right here. And I'm big on it because it's been effective. A lot of times people be telling me all their problems. And you know what? I'm here for you. If you need to tell me your problems, I'm here to listen to them. But I'm going to tell you some things that you don't want to hear. And one of those things that you probably don't want to hear is you need to get off your butt and do something for somebody else. Because see, if the devil can keep you on your couch and back in your bedroom crying about all the stuff that's going wrong with you, you ain't going to do nothing for God and you ain't going to do nothing for nobody else. But see, that's what it takes. The Word of God says, take up your cross and follow me daily. See, what does it take to really be a believer? Take up your cross on a daily basis, come hell or high water, and you better bet that the hell's coming and the high water will come. But you got to decide on a daily basis what you're going to do with the hell and what you're going to do with the fire, because it's all coming at times. But you got to decide, I'm going to take that cross up and we're going to move forward. But you can't afford to stay where you're at. What happens when you stay where you're at? You will lose years in that. You got to ask yourself, how many more years do I want to lose up in that? How do you know that something's hurt you? Well, I'm going to tell you this. On your worst day, or when you're having a bad day, and your mind goes to the same thing every time, that is unaddressed pain in your life. And until you address it with God and in a healthy way, you're going to have a part of you that's numbed over. And you've got to start there. Stop telling yourself it'll be fine. I just need to give it more time. No, what you need to do is you need to do what David said. God, I'm crying out to you right now. I've got this thing right here. And Lord, I need you to take me by the hand and go right to this place of pain with me so I can stop having pain over it. There's people, you've been told a diagnosis that you don't like. The healing is already there. Don't replay what that doctor said. You replay what the great physician said, and he said that he healed you. Amen. Go to that place with God. Let him heal you from the inside out. Why is the love of most growing cold? Go with me to Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. Will you have some hard things come up in your life? Yes, you will. Guarantee you already have. But joy cometh in the morning. I cannot stress enough to you, so we're going to go back again. And I'm going to hit this point again. because God's wanting to say it again. If you're up in here, or you're sitting on your couch and you're watching this, and there's something that's holding you back, maybe it's something that happened, maybe it's a catastrophe, maybe it's a family issue, maybe trauma, something. And on your worst days, you're still going back to that. You need a healing to take place in your life. And because of that thing, you've been numbed over. God did not intend for you to be numbed over. He wants you to be free from that. You say, well, Pastor Kelly, what do I do? Go back to that place with him. Go back to that place with him. I don't read a lot of books. The only thing I really read is some devotionals in the morning with my husband and the Word of God. But I did listen to an audio book, and it was a few years ago. And it was called The Shack. And a man had his daughter, and the daughter was kidnapped and killed, and it was just a little girl. And he had an experience with God where he was in a shack, and there were three characters, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this character was standing. The main guy, he was standing with all of these, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he looked at him and he said, why did you let that happen? Why did you let my kid die? And the Holy Spirit had a vessel. He took it out and he took it right up to the guy's cheek and he collected that tear and he said, I've collected all of your tears. And he began to show that man things that he did not know and things that he could not see. See, there's things that's happened in all of our lives. And they've broken a part of us. And for some of us, it's left us in a numbed over state. You're not a bad Christian if you ask God why. But understand this. He collected every tear you've ever cried about that's gone on. And if you'll let him, he will take you and walk through it with you. There has to be an exchange. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 61, last place for me. Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to start at verse 3. God loves you so much in here this morning. And he's here to meet you right where you're at. But there's some things that he needs from you. I'm going to actually go to verse 2. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The Word of God says in Matthew in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn. If you've skipped over some mourning process, you're blessed when you are able to mourn. Don't skip that part. Verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. How do you get the beauty? You give him the ashes. It's an exchange. You're not going to keep the ashes and get the beauty too. There's an exchange that has to go on. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. How can you have joy again? Give him the mourning. Go through it with him, but then give it to him. Exchange it. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for this display of His splendor. I want to ask you this morning, is there something that you can say, you know what, there's a point of pain for me, and I go back to that, and I can't seem to not go back to it every time? If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand, because see, God is here to take pain away from people, but you have to recognize that it's in your life. Whatever God reveals, God can heal it. Now I'm going to go one step further. You have a part to play in this. You want to get that numbness off of you? You're going to have to be proactive in that. And this is how you're going to do it. The next time that your mind wants to go to that point of pain that you're standing up for, I want you to go, Dad, find me the place that tells us what to think on. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, find me that place. You're going to have to stop the thought. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, take every thought captive. When your mind wants to go to that point of pain for you and keep you in that place where you're numbed over and you can't feel anything, the Word of God, it is living and it is active. You, it's up to you to stop the thought. How do you do it? You take it captive. What do you do after you take it captive? You declare the Word over it. What is the Word? Do we have it? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When that thought comes to you, the very next time, you need to stop that thought. You need to take it captive and you need to plead the Word of Jesus over it that says, you know what? This isn't pure for me. This isn't lovely for me. This is causing me pain. So God, in Jesus' name, right now, I plead your Word over that point of pain for me. God, I declare that that is not a point of pain for me anymore, but God, it's a point of healing. And the healing is taking place right in this place this morning. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person that's standing. God, for every moment that they've spent in this pain, in the agony, in the depression, in the sadness, in the weeping over it, God, you've counted every tear. You hold them in your vessel. Lord, right now, I ask you that you'd help us to get to a point, God, of healing. Lord, I ask that you'd heal us from the inside out. God, give us peace where there's been a sadness and an unrest. Give us joy where there's been brokenness. God, for those of us that's been in a season of mourning, Lord, let that season be done. And Lord, I thank you that healing is taking place right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I love each and every one of you. If you need me, I'm not too busy for you. Call me. I'll pray with you. I'll listen to you. I'll love you. There is going to be lots of food, but you need to give us about 5 minutes to get it out. And Sister Millie is going to preach tonight. She's awesome, and you don't want to miss her.